Today I'm presenting a part of my thesis research, which examines whether electrical resistivity tomography is a viable method for characterizing soil pipe networks on forested hill slopes. You might be wondering, what are soil pipes? For this study, we define soil pipes as chains of macropores running roughly parallel to the soil surface. Soil pipes can form from a number of geological and biological activities, including the decay and combustion of tree roots, which they're likely to do in forested hill slopes. Timber harvesting and fire interactions in managed forests likely contribute and or enhance soil pipe networks. So, as I mentioned earlier, the combustion of tree roots likely contributes to the formation of soil pipe networks and affects their connectivity. However, we know very little about soil pipe networks of any origins in forested hill slopes. Soil pipes have been shown to be hydrologically important where they occur, and if we are to build better physical models that predict watershed responses to things like regional climate change, land use changes, or ecological shifts, we need a better understanding of the subsurface hydrology to incorporate these soil pipes into these physical models, which is where three-dimensional resistivity tomography comes in. It appears to be, or could be, a viable means for mapping soil pipe networks in forested hill slopes. Electrical resistivity tomography basically uses a direct current applied to the soil surface, which is used to measure the resistance of that current over a volume in the subsurface, that is the resistivity. And the measurement of this resistivity is then used to produce a two-dimensional or three-dimensional image of the subsurface. Numerical modeling suggests that soil pipes will resolve as high resistivity spatially correlated anomalies, as shown in this three-dimensional numerical model here, where the modeled soil pipes do indeed resolve as high resistivity spatial anomalies, the warm colors being high resistivity and the cool colors being low resistivity. One of the goals of the research, or that we hoped to achieve, was that to observe soil pipe formation with this method by obtaining electrical resistivity tomography measurements prior to and after a prescribed burn surrounding three decaying stumps. That is the burning of the root systems and the decayed stumps. Our field site is located on a 5-acre clear cut in the University of Idaho Experimental Forest, which is in northern Idaho. The soils there are classified as the Santa series, which are ashy silt loams on 3 to 35% slopes. And if you're a pedologist, you'll appreciate this. They're coarse, silty, mixed, superactive, frigid, pergiantic, fragile xerols. The area occurs in a mixed conifer forest dominated by grand fir, western cedar, Douglas fir, ponderosa pine, western larch, and a few more species. Each site consists of a 6 by 6 meter plot surrounding three decaying stumps and the root systems. The 5-acre clear cut was harvested in June of 2009, and the prescribed burn occurred in mid-October of this year, somewhat later than we had hoped for. Prior to the prescribed burn, at each of the 6 by 6 meter sites, a pseudo 3D electrical resistivity tomography survey was conducted. The ERT surveys were conducted using a 1-beta and dipole-dipole combination and with a geotom apparatus. The electrode spacing was at 25 centimeters and resulted in a grid of 625 possible electrode locations. To save time and help ensure accuracy of the spacing between electrode locations, these sites were flagged prior to measurements. Each electrode was individually attached to leads on custom electrical resistivity tomography cables. In order to achieve a pseudo 3D resistivity survey of the sites, they were conducted in a roll-along manner with measurements in the perpendicular and parallel orientations. in order to obtain enough directional information for a pseudo 3D survey, such that we had two lines of 25 electrodes running across the site, measured simultaneously, first in one section, then moved across the site as such until the whole site was covered. Then the same area covered again in a perpendicular manner prior to the previous measurements. Before I go into these diagrams, I just want to orient ourselves to what we're looking at here. On the side axes here, we have depth. On the top, we have distance over the site in the Y and X directions. On this bottom image here, we have an image of the topography of the site. This red dot here represents the location of the decaying stump. In the YZ cross section, we are looking at a slice depth down along this yellow dashed line. In the XZ cross section, we are looking at a slice depth along this white dashed line here. The resistivity values in the cool colors are low, and in the warm colors represent high resistivity values. In both cross sections, which cut through the area of the stump, or the location of the stump, a high resistive anomaly occurred, which is spatially correlated to the below ground portion of the decaying stump in that area. That is the main body of the root mass, likely. And this is for the pre-burn electrical resistivity tomography surveys, not post-burn. On site two, a soil pipe opening was noted at the very edge of the site, as represented by this red dot here, approximately 10 to 12 centimeters in diameter, running vertically along the X direction, about a half a meter is what we could measure before we either veered away from the survey area or terminated. Once again, we have a topographical representation of the site here. And on this XZ cross-section, we are looking at a slice with depth along the dashed brown line running along the very bottom of the site. The high resistivity anomaly in the black circle there spatially corresponds to the soil pipe opening and has the same rough dimensions. Unfortunately, the prescribed burn occurred somewhat later than we had hoped for and planned for, and so I was not able to obtain post-electrical resistivity tomography survey measurements prior to this presentation. But there's still some interesting observations, visual observations, that can be made. Here you see the decaying stump on site one prior to the burn, and then post-burn. You can see where the stump has burned away and some of the soil has collapsed. Two soil pipes formed of unknown length at this point. But so that we do have soil pipe formation and enhancement at least some of these sites. So to conclude, our numerical modeling shows that, or suggests that, electrical resistivity tomography surveys conducted in this manner could be a viable field method for characterizing soil pipe networks in forested hill slopes. Pre-burn measurements indicate the ability of the method to detect below ground portions of decaying stumps and at least one portion of a soil pipe. We need to collect the post-burn measurements, obviously, compared to the pre-burn measurements, and use differential inversion software, including Res3D and Brett, to attempt to produce contrasting images of before and after, and maybe a composite images, subtracting the before measurements from the after, leaving the high resistivity areas that represent soil pipe formation. Obviously, this method needs to be validated, and unfortunately, the best way to validate it is currently also the best way to examine soil pipes, and that's excavation. So we will be destroying our sites, unfortunately, but we need to validate the methods. And I'd like to thank my co-authors, for help on this presentation. And special thanks to Ethan Whitetemple, who's undergraduate at the University of Idaho, that helped me with some of the field work so I didn't have to go to the chiropractor. And with that, I'll take any questions.
We certainly have time for a question or two. Glenn?
It looked like the resistivity of the root mass, which clearly shows up, is about the same as the void. Can you distinguish between a filled-in pipe that's filled in with the root, active root in it?
So you bring up a good point. Under these conditions, the soil, it was a dry condition, and when you have dead wood that's dried, it's going to be highly resistive as well. That's why we need to collect the post-burn measurements. And depending on what conditions you collect the measurements under, those resistivity values will change. So hopefully, though, that the depending on the scaling that you use, since these images aren't on the same scale, that there will be a difference in the resistivity, that the voids will still be a higher resistivity than the decayed roots, which will still retain some amount of soil moisture. But, I mean, that's conjecture.
And what size can you get down to? Do you have any feel for that?
No, not yet. Excavation will help determine that, but physical modeling is the next step to determine size. And the detailed measurements needed, maybe we don't need such fine measurements, maybe we need finer measurements, and what detail can you resolve these soil pipes at?
I was about to ask about the size. Mm-hmm. When you say that you cannot predict that, assume a spherical cavity, and can you resolve it with 25 centimeter spacing?
Oh, with numerical modeling, I can get down to at least 5 centimeters or less.
5 centimeters is small.
But that's under somewhat ideal conditions.
But under ideal conditions, the smallest you can get is 5 centimeters.
No, that's just the smallest I know of right now. That's the smallest I've modeled. So you could be able to go further, but I don't think you're going to have really quite as ideal conditions in the field most of the time, especially with small changes in human errors in spacing and between electrodes and changes in soil moisture throughout the profile and various other things, geological noise.
I saw another hand up.
Yes.
How do you prefer to do the measurement of the dry versus moist conditions?
Well, it doesn't have to be completely dry or very dry, but if you approach saturation,